The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome back. Today's Monday, fifth day of December, 2011. Have a look at the numbers. The Dow up 135 points, the S&P up 18, the comp is up 40. Now, is the rally sustainable? That's the big question. Do we blow up or do we break down? If we go back to Friday's chart, this is the hourly chart for today. This shows a little gap open that we had last night. I had this on a daily chart earlier. I'll put it back. I even wrote about this on the blog. Scale it down. We're still waiting on Michael. Now, at the close Friday, we had this little doji sticking up here. A little gravestone. Not a perfect gravestone because it had just a tad of a tail there on the bottom. The concept for that trade would be to short a break of that low or a break of the close. We watched it on the overnight last night to see if it would give such an opportunity. In fact, we tweeted a like opportunity on the YM, and I'll show you that opportunity on the YM. Same thing, see? Now we've gotten just up to any close above that, or literally any trading above it, kind of takes away that whole idea. Now, someone could have just said, well, you know what, I'm going to short a low of the open. That hasn't happened either. You could say, I'm going to short a low of this candle. You could do that too. So far, we have arguably an inside day on the YM and the ES. And the body's inside. If we close above it, then that's negated. But I just wanted to point out the gravestone doji, that it's there. I think on the blog I said it's not an apocalyptic warning. It's simply a signpost on the road up ahead. Just a heads up. We'll see what today does. Can the rally be sustained? Well, let's go over here and look at the euro and see what kind of trouble they're in. There he is.
Hello there.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I was...
Sorry, you were what?
Detained.
Oh. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good now. All right. It's all good.
Okay. Here's what we had happen on the euro last night. We kind of went sideways on the open. We did have a tweet to sell it if it broke down here at 133.55. Okay. It was like an outside shot, but if it breaks, we'll catch it. That didn't happen. So we were never triggered into the YM trade, the Euro trade. I'm not sure if the gold trade got triggered or not. I'll have to check that one. But then we have just this kind of textbook move. Red on the downside, some white candles going sideways, and then we get this little pop up. But again, is it sustainable? Will it continue? Are we going higher from here? You have to watch and see. There are all sorts of seasonal things happening. You've got fund managers coming up on year's end, end of quarter. A lot of them, you know, get paid based on how much they're up for whatever time frame they're working against. So, you know, could there potentially be a lot of buying going on in here to try to hold this thing up? We're coming up on a presidential election cycle. Historically, the markets rally during that time period. Normally, the markets rally into Thanksgiving, but they didn't this year. But then beginning the day after, they kicked it off, and they've still been going. In fact, for those of you who are beta testing our Swing Trader product, those of you that were invited to participate in the beta test, you might be thinking you missed something somewhere along the way, but you've not missed anything, because there's only been the one trade. Okay, it's like a pendulum. There's going to be a long trade, then a short trade, then a long trade, then a short trade. The long trade got triggered in on the day after Thanksgiving, which was back here. I'm on a daily chart. We got triggered in right here on the Globex Open at 1172. And we've run to, what's the high so far? 1266. And still going. So we may very well see 100 points out of the swing trade. That could happen. All right, Michael, I know you got things to do and places to go, so I'll let you go ahead and take the camera, take the mic, do the recap, and then we'll get
all right. I will grab it, and we'll go through the recap fairly quickly, I imagine. Unfortunately, we didn't have as many trades this morning. We went through the first half hour, and I took that one trade right at the very open. I sort of wish I would have skipped, but it met all the requirements, so I took it. And you will all see that in just a moment here. Let me adjust my screen so you can see what is going on. There we go. All right. Let me just get ready to get started. All right. I'm going to check the that. Ready? All right. I'm going to start the recording in 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, December 5th, 2011. We're going to go over the trades we took in the live trading room this morning, the ones we took, the ones we didn't take, and the difference between them. Let's start off with the results. We ended up down 1 point this morning, okay? Minus 12 ticks on 3 contracts. We're down 1 point. All right. Now let me slide right back over here to where we started the day. Our very first trade right out of the box right here. It was 9:30:02. We went long right here. And that promptly went right down to our stop and stopped us out to the tick. Went back up a little bit past our entry. Not enough to get us to move our stop to break even. So we would have ended up stopped out of that trade no matter what. Let me go through the setup for it, though. We had a fresh bubble right here. Okay. We had a fresh bubble right there, and it was our first pullback down to the BBC after the fresh bubble. Okay. So that trade just did not work out. We did not have another trade all the way up here. We had chop right up until the top of the hour, which was 10 o'clock. We had a high-impact news event come out. It was bad news. It really didn't do anything but make the market go sideways for a while. Alright, we didn't have any more opportunity in all this area right in here. We didn't have any more opportunity. Okay, so we started to look at other time frames. In here, we switched over here to the 10,000 contract. Alright, now if you go back here, the one thing about that first trade this morning that I'll show you that was not in full agreement, and this goes back to the stuff that we talked about in the partners meeting last week. I'll point it out to you in here, and I'll show you here on these two different charts. Okay, the one thing that was not in perfect agreement with that Let me scroll back here on this chart as well. I want to make it so you can see the time down there at the bottom. All right, this is where we entered the trade. Over here, right on the, it was right at 9:30, exactly at 9:30. So it was up here, right up here near the top. The one thing that wasn't in agreement was the BBC. The BBC over here was at 1261. We like all the BBCs across all three of these time frames to be within a point of each other. This one was at 1261. The BBC on the 10K at the time was down here at 1259, right in that range. Right here, 1259. Our stop on this trade was at 1259.5. So the BBC here was outside of the two-point range of our stop. And over here, it was beyond 1 point on the 2100 tick. All right, not to confuse anyone, but that was one of the things we went over to look for, and we didn't have it in this particular trade. I just jumped right in and took the trade because I thought the market was going to continue moving up. It took a while for it to continue moving up, but eventually it did. We didn't have any more trades here off the 4-tick range. We got stopped out to the tick. We didn't have any trades here on the 10K as well, or either. Right? The only opportunity we did have was right over here. We had this bearish cross right here, and we were looking to short, and we were trying to short and trying to short, but we were trying to short it over here on the 2100 tick, not so much there on the 10,000 contract chart. All right? There was a long trade in here on the 2100 tick that we didn't take, but this was the short right here. The reason we didn't take it is because, again, not everything came together. We took the trade off. We tried to get into it. We were trying to get into it and trying to get into it, and then we didn't take the trade. We took our order off. And obviously, the market did run in that direction, but we had taken our order off. So that's it. We didn't have a trade there. We did take a trade earlier in here, though, on the 2100 tick, right here, after we had the bullish cross. We had this bullish cross over the 50 right here. We had a bullish cross right here. Price pulled back down. We went long right here. And when price hesitated up here, this was near our target, price hesitated up here. And this was the high of the day at the time. So we moved our stop up to plus 1 point, and we ended up getting out there with plus 1 point. Obviously, it continued on in that direction, but we got out with plus 1 point on that trade. All right. Over here on the YM, I did not take this trade. I tried to take it. I had my order here at 163, or I think I had mine at 162, and Dwayne had his at 163. Dwayne entered at 163 and watched it go all the way up here to 173. And it came back down here and got him out at plus 1 point. All right, I never got an entry on this trade, so there was nothing there for me. Let's see. Over here right now on the 10K, it's giving us a bullish cross. We have resistance up there at 64.5. On the 2100 tick, it's already given the bullish cross. And we're not using support and resistance there. The cycle is not in favor completely yet. Using the Mike R trade here, it's not over the 50, so you'd want to see that over the 50 for the pullback. All right. Now, and that's it. That's all we had for the morning. All right, so we're minus 1 point on the morning. 12 ticks on three contracts, minus 1 point. All right. There. Okay, the recording is ended. Does anyone have any questions about any of that? Anyone?
Yeah, it's mighty lonely out there on that stage by yourself. Huh, Pilgrim?
Yeah, I guess. Anyone? You could hear a pin drop. You could hear dust settling on the chairs. All right. Well, anyway, let's just go over what's here right now. All right. I just wanted to show you. Down here, we'd be looking for the cycle to get above the 50, price to pull away from and back down to the BBC. All right? That's where we'd be looking for the long trade. The DMT is not in favor of any trading in here right now. Okay? not in favor of any trading at all. Now, earlier, it had pierced the envelope over here, suggesting a 3 to 5 point move up on the 2100 tick, and we did get that. It did it again right here, right before the news event, and we got the move up on that. We haven't had a good pierce of the envelope on the 10K yet this morning. All right. But let's see. That is pretty much it. We don't have anything setting up here on the 4 tick range yet. I know Dwayne had brought out the 6E earlier and pointed out some things on the 6E. We did have one or two trades this morning that qualified on the 6E. There was a short right here after this divergence. The first pullback to the BBC was right there. On the other side, we had this divergence. The first pullback after the divergence was right there. A bearish divergence here, so the first pullback was right there. More bearish divergence, so the next pullback was way over here. Alright, more bearish divergence right here. Bullish divergence here, so the first pullback after that divergence to the BBC was right there. More bullish divergence right here as we were winding it up for the end of the day on the 6E. We had bullish divergence here, elbow broken to the upside, the first pullback was right there. And that's pretty much it. Oops, well that was yesterday. Or not yesterday, but overnight. Today, we had divergence here. This was the pullback. Bullish divergence here. This right in here would have been the pullback we're looking for, but we didn't have the very good divergence there. Divergence here. Bearish divergence with the broken elbow. Alright, that was the 6E. Let me jump over as more people show up here. Let me jump over to the Russell.
Who are all these
people? Bert.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, Bert.
Hello, Bert. How are you, man?
I'm hanging out. How about you?
Oh, loving it.
Are we recording this?
Well, we're just getting ready to start the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You want to do the show with us?
Yeah, I'm always here.
All right, man.
Put this in the background. I'm research, development.
You know, I was when you said we have some more people coming in, so you're going to show what, Michael? What are you going to show?
No, I was going to show the Russell. Russell trades that were available this morning. With everything going in the same direction right here was a short. Everything going in the same direction right here was the long. And that's pretty much all we had so far. Two trades on the Russell for 20 ticks is what you would have been looking for using that setup on the 10 tick range. Okay. Jeff, the piercing of the envelope. Yeah, I'd be happy to explain that. I'll show it to you on the 10,000 contract, and I'll scroll back to yesterday or Friday or whatever. All right, what you're looking for ideally is a pierce of the envelope. The envelope's either going to be blue or it's going to be red, and you want to see the envelope get pierced from the bottom by a green trend strength line. That suggests a 5 to 6 point move in the direction of the envelope. All right, pierces the bottom with a green trend strength line. 5 to 6 point move down, pierces over here, expecting a 5 to 6 point move down. I'm not even looking at the times on this. It wasn't green right there. The pierce over here, it was green. You expect a 5 to 6 point move up. This was 98, so you were expecting it to get up to 1203, which it got right there. That's pretty much it. All right, you want to have the trend strength line be green and pierce the envelope from the bottom. Once it does that, it gives you a sort of a distance to expect with the market. It's not an entry criteria on its own. Now, at that point, you would say, okay, well, we pierced the bottom of a blue envelope, so we're expecting it to go 5 to 6 points from right here. I'm going to start looking for long trades that would get me 5 to 6 points or to get me to that point, wherever that is. Okay, that's what you would do with that. And that, is that clear? Okay, good. You got it. Good. All right.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our guests from Hungary, Norway, Rancho Santa Margarita, Walnut Creek, Las Vegas, Chandler, Arizona, Morris Plains, New Jersey, Deerfield Beach, Florida. I could go on, but I think I've made my point. It was really fascinating Sunday. Portugal, Norway, Hungary, and Israel all lighting up the site within hours of each other. So we've always known that we had an international audience. And Michael brought up a good point on the show last week that not everyone listening to this program, English is not necessarily their first language. And I don't know that we've ever really taken that into consideration. And we can't, we're not in a position, of course, to, you know, translate into multiple languages like the United Nations as we do the broadcast. But for anyone who is listening from another country and, we talk about something, we use some terminology, some phrase that you're not familiar with, don't hesitate to speak up and ask, and we'll do our best. You know, some things don't, if we're goofing around, some things don't translate. But if it's a technical term or something to do with the markets, then I'm sure we can figure out a way to translate it for you. All right, Bert, anything else you want to add today? Michael, anything else you want to add? It's been a busy day, guys. I've gotten so many emails, and I was really busy all weekend. I was working so hard to get everything right this weekend that one of the main things I forgot to do was fix the link on the webpage that brings you into the live session. So for any of you that were stumped by that, my apology. And to whoever it was, I've had so many emails today I can't remember, but somebody alerted me to the fact, right about the same time you brought it up, Michael, that the link had not been changed on the radio show page. So I dashed out and got that done, obviously because we have a room full of folks. The emails that went out all had the right link, but I forgot to connect the last dot, which was going back to the web page and fixing it there.
That's all right.
So thanks for bearing with us. Glad you all made it here. If you're here for the first time, we just want to extend a great big welcome, give you a big old radio hug, if that's permissible without being considered harassment where you live. And we do this every day, Monday through Friday. We've been at it now, moving into our seventh year. Oh, which brings up a good point. You're all going to get an email asking you to cast your vote. We're nominated again this year for the People's Choice Award, the Christian Netcast People's Choice Award. We won it our maiden year back in 2005. Okay, and since I never promoted voting on the show, but this year I'm going to promote it because this one little trophy sitting on my desk, it's just lonely. It spoke to me the other night. It says, I need a friend. It's been a while. So you're going to hear me bring it up probably daily, and I'm going to put a link on the site where it'll be really easy. You can just click to vote. It'll be awesome. And God willing, we'll take that little trophy home again this year. All right, and we might even go to the NRB to accept the award. The last time they wanted us to come to the NRB, which is the National Radio Broadcasters Association Blowout Wing Dig Conference. What do they call those things, Michael? Trade show?
Shindig.
Trade show.
Oh, the trade show, yeah.
Trade show. They wanted us to come accept the award at the trade show, but we were so busy back then just trying to figure out how to do radio that we didn't go. This year, if we get the invite, we might, and we just might broadcast live from there, if that's how it comes together. So be so kind as to vote if you enjoy our program. We're not going to pass the hat, ask you to make a donation, just a mouse click. Could you spare a brother just one mouse click? Could you do that? All right. Okay, anything else you got, Michael, on your end?
There was just one thing I wanted to show. For anyone who does not have English as a primary language who is reading the website, we have this little translate button down here on the bottom.
We are the United Nations.
Well, Unfortunately, we don't have Hungarian down there, but we do have a bunch of other ones.
Go ahead, click one.
So you can click on, let's say, Spanish. Okay.
Oh, that's
I just click Spanish, and it is translating, and. See a little thing there says it's translating.
Yeah, I see it.
At least I think it does.
It did. It said it was translating, and yeah, go hard. Go Chinese.
All right, we'll go Chinese.
I think when you touched it, it stopped translating. Translating.
Okay,
translating.
I'm not going to touch it this time.
Let's see what happens. That'd be embarrassing if on live radio it doesn't translate, huh? It didn't translate. Mm.
That's two in a row. Your translate button is broken. It did work before, though.
Yeah, I've tried
it. It could just
before.
Be, you know what, this is Internet Explorer. It could be that it's Internet Explorer that it's doing it with.
Oh, by the way,
do
folks.
Have some bugs with IE.
By the way, folks, if you view our site in Internet Explorer, you probably think we just do this for a hobby or like we're on some really heavy medication. I got to say. You really should be browsing the internet with Mozilla Firefox. It's the safe way. It's the fast way. It's the better way. And I'm going to put a link up on the site for those of you. Now, some of you have been with Internet Explorer your whole life, ever since you got on the internet. And, oh no, it's Microsoft. If it's not broke, you know, don't mess with it. Okay, I'm going to just tell you, it is broke. It has been broke. The latest version of Internet Explorer is less bad than previous versions, but when you put it up against Firefox or Chrome, Chrome's probably a little too fast, a little too sleek for most people, a little too intuitive, kind of creeps you out almost. Go with Firefox. It is fast, it is sturdy, it is stable, it is free. It has so many plugins that you can add. And did I mention it's safe? There is far less chance of you having your identity stolen in Firefox than in Internet Explorer. And I say that with great confidence. I encourage you to, you know, my wife did not want to go make the switch. When she found it, one day while she was gone, I snuck in and put it on her computer. She comes home, "What is this thing?" And I'm like, "Look, just use it for, I don't know, humor me for a day." 3 days later, she goes, "Wow. This is so awesome. Why didn't you tell me about this before?" I've been begging you for, I'm not sure exactly how long, to upgrade your browser. "Well, I didn't know this was what you meant." Oh, okay. All right, honey. I love you. All right. Anything else? Our translator didn't work.
Oh, yeah. The translator's broke on IE. But anyway, we do have that. And I'll get it working on another the browser here for the next time. Nope, that's it. That's all I have. All right, so we're going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up. We're not going to wrap up. We're going to go out to Las Vegas. Sorry, it's the bottom of the hour. It's usually when we wrap up.
All right. We're going to go to Vegas. We're going to pause for a station identification. And seriously, guys, I'm really kind of frantic here with the emails and with the live chat. But we're going to just keep moving on.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
Well, here we are again, ready for another week and probably an interesting week in the markets.
I think you're right.
I think I am. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had a really nice weekend. I hope everyone else did as well. Spent some time with one of our customers over the weekend going over the markets and our particular way, which happens to be reflected wave, our particular, you know, timing methodology. And today, the S&P 500 is again higher. This last week almost was the largest or second largest week, I don't remember the stat exactly, of all time on the upside. And that's a pretty powerful week, even if it isn't that. They didn't quite get to that number, but with the continued move that we have right now and the tap dancing that we're hearing in the background.
Wow, that is intense.
That's some fast dancing, too, I think.
Good gracious. How many words a minute do you type?
Me?
Yeah.
It depends how many fingers I use.
Is that like two fingers?
Probably about 10.
Depends on how many hands I use. Now, if I go to three or four hands, I'm actually very, very fast.
With mistakes or without mistakes?
Right. I will sometimes, if I wouldn't be surprised if Michael was using his feet in that last string of characters, along with his hands.
Hey now.
You know, the hands and the feet clicking away there. Very effective. High speed.
Yes. Yes, that's what I do. I don't like to waste time.
No, you're good. That's. I have to admit I'm impressed. I would be impressed if that was somebody tap dancing that was so fast. And you can, you know, get those shoes going pretty quick, too.
That would be pretty fast.
Anyway, but Dwayne, a couple interesting things over the weekend, some news that had come out. First of all, Herman Cain backed out of the presidential race, which is interesting because it now limits down for the Republican Party the number of contenders. It's pretty obvious that it's not going to be Ron Paul. It's pretty obvious it's not going to be the woman. I forgot her name. And Michelle Bachmann. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here where it's pretty much looking between Newt Gingrich and the other guy who I forgot his name right now. I can't think of these people's names this morning. But anyway, that's interesting, and we're making, the market, so to speak, is culling through these people, and even though Herman Cain had to back out because of the allegations, that's a form of the market, so to speak, doing its job of culling through these people, and then finally we'll end up with a Republican candidate, and we'll go from there. So that's interesting. Any comments on that on your end?
Say that again.
Well, it was a long, involved statement. It was complicated, Dwayne.
I know. That ball of yarn, it distracts me sometimes.
Yeah,
are you listening, Michael? Maybe
that's all right. I'll cover your comments for you.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
Yes, I found that very interesting. No, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, it was very interesting. I think it's going to be between Newt and Mitt, obviously. I think that's...
Mitt, that's what it is, yeah.
That's where it's going to be, I think. There. Yeah, Cain backing out, that there's, I'm sure there's more skeletons in that closet that just...
Of course,
their of way
course
out
there
yet.
Are. Of course and, there are.
And Mitt's already had his closet pretty well examined, so it's just a matter
of... No, he has. You know, men in power, it's an aphrodisiac. We've seen that a million times. And once in a while, you get somebody like a Mitt Romney, who apparently, you know, is happily married and has done well in the business and other worlds and has, not gotten tripped up by that. But that's, you know, it's one of these things we've seen with a number of people, both left and right. You know, Newt Gingrich himself has been through a lot of marriages and some affairs, along with Herman Cain. It's no discounting any of, you know, not trying to excuse the behavior or anything, but it's something we see over and over again. It's just, you know, what about the guy, the presidential candidate, John Edwards, you know,
right,
last year? And, you know, I've said this on the show before, but I'm just going to say it again. The very best journalism in America is done in the Inquirer. As strange as that sounds, that company has won more awards for journalism than any other company. They have been ahead on stories by as much as a half a year
before the media, in the John Edwards story, was one such story. They were fully 6 or 7 months ahead. They came out with it that he had an affair with this woman, had a child, a love child, and there was going to be a cover-up 6 months before anybody else even started playing it on the news. That's really an amazing 6 months in the news world is, you know, 3 days is an eternity. To be ahead by 6 months is, you know, that almost is like a deity. And they've done that over and over and over again. So I know all these, you know, rag magazines that are sitting on your, you know, as you're checking out at your favorite store, but the Enquirer is really actually falls into the remarkable category for what they're able to dig up, even if it's information that you really don't care about, like what, you know, who's seeing who or what girl is cheating on who, that kind of stuff. They do dig it up, and they've dug it up on a lot of very important people and have nailed people on stuff so many times that, you know, they fall on the, to me, it's plain old remarkable, because there's plenty of other news hounds out there looking, gumshoes out there looking, investigative reporters, etc. But the people that work for the Enquirer are amazing. I don't know how they do it. Maybe they're doing it illegally. I don't know. But they're getting it. They get the stories. So check out the Enquirer. See for yourself. Anyway, so Dwayne, anything else from you? If I can distract you from that little fur ball or whatever you're playing with there.
Ball of yarn.
Ball of yarn.
It is, yeah, you know what? I had this problem all weekend, and my wife kept going, really? Really? Could you just put that thing down? And I was like, yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, she would catch me over on aisle 7 with my phone in my hand. But never mind. I'm not going to go into it or even talk about it. all right, David Williams. I know that everybody thinks they have the cutest, most intelligent child in the world, but...
But you do.
I think I actually do. I'm telling you, this 4-year-old little girl has absolutely, positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, stolen my heart in more ways than I can count. She can hear a song on the radio, and she just sings it. I mean, oh. The song's over, and no, I'm saying, David, she remembers all the words.
Yeah, people have memories for that. It's funny. Some people can't remember normal things, but they can remember every word in a song and the melody. And I've known people like that.
As soon as she comes,
That's not to say that she can't remember normal things, of course. Right?
Oh man, she can remember.
No, I don't know what you said.
Every day she comes. As soon as she comes through the front door, she runs in. Daddy, give me a big hug, and I go, "Hi, sweetheart. How are you? I'm good. What'd you do at school?" She tells me. "What'd you have for lunch?" She tells me. And then she goes, "Daddy," and I go, "Yeah. Can I use your iPad?" Okay. She's got this drawing program that she uses, and from the singing to the drawing to the, it for me, this is incredible, you know. I'm just really, you know, and I keep going, oh, come on now, everybody thinks your kid's the smartest. And then we were taking a walk the other day, and she goes, "I think when we get home, I'm going to do so-and-so and such." And I said, "Oh, okay, honey, that sounds good." And she goes, "Really, Daddy? Do you think that's a good idea?" I'm like, my God, you're 4, you know?
Yeah.
But then she reminded me that she was 4 when we went to Glendale Glitters to the holiday thing on Saturday. Because I was holding her hand as tight as I could, she pulled away from me and came within like inches of getting hit by a truck.
Oh, you know,
the guy in the truck is going too fast. He's blowing his horn, and all the people on the street are looking at me like I'm, you know, a deadbeat dad. And yeah. I just want to warn everybody out there. I'm sure I don't have to because you guys have kids and you've had them, you know, like since they were babies. You can be so careful and so protective day in, day out, 24/7, but it's those 3 seconds. Like here in Phoenix, that blink of an eye, like here in Phoenix, every summer it's a tragedy, all the kids that drown in swimming pools. And it's not because their parents went shopping and left them home by themselves. It's because the parent had to use the bathroom or make a phone call. And it's that blink of an eye, and it's really got me kind of freaked out, you know?
Yeah, it can, and it's a reminder. Many years ago, this is an unfortunate story, but I owned some apartments here in Las Vegas, and or homes, excuse me, and in one of them, I hate to even recount the story, but we only heard about it because we heard about it from the insurance company, but somebody left their, you know, this was in the 80s, somebody left their little baby, and somehow the baby crawled into the pool, and the thing is that it can happen. It shouldn't happen if you're really being vigilant, but what Wayne just said can happen as well, which is that one thing distracts you, you run to the restroom, and then as you're going out to check on your child, maybe the phone rings, and the phone ring is an unusual call, and that takes you to something else, and before you know it, two or three things have blocked you. Let's just, you know, giving the person a complete excuse here that something, a series of things happened, but anyway, so we had something like that happen once where a child had gotten into a pool, and the mother had not been paying attention, and sometimes people just forget about where their kids are or whatever, but it is often in those just two-second blinks. You can be the most caring and loving, but you blink for 2 seconds, and that happens to be the one time that something comes up. And so, yeah, you just have to do the very best you can, and you have to realize that you can't be perfect, but you have to be very vigilant to have a child and to keep it, to be blunt, alive. Because people will leave kids in cars, and then something else happens. We have it all the time in Nevada. In fact, in the 80s, we had a number, I mean, it seemed like it was a growth industry to have kids and animals either die or go into heat stroke into cars because of parents leaving their children in cars without the car running and air conditioning running. They would just leave the windows open. And in Nevada, just like in Arizona, it can get very, very hot. And it doesn't take very long for something like that to happen. So,
did you hear about that incident? I don't think it wasn't this past summer. It was a year ago. Maybe it's even 2 years ago now. A police officer who was part of the K-9 squad.
Mm-hmm.
He went home from work after a long shift, forgot his police dog in his car.
Oh.
Now that, you know, people go, well, how do you do that? But I don't know, you know. Maybe you just do it. I'm not saying, you know, maybe there was something wrong with him or his thinking, or he'd been working too many hours, or maybe he just forgot, but it happened, and the dog did die, and I think the guy lost his job over it. In fact, I think he actually had to do some jail time over it.
Wow.
And so if it, you know, if it can happen to a police officer, somebody who is, like, you know, taught to be uber vigilant all the time, I mean, it can happen to you. So, you know, that's why I'm always reminded of God's grace in our life, because when I see other people in other situations and other circumstances, the human mind and spirit is so quick to leap to judgment. Oh, what a horrible parent. Mm-hmm. Or how could you do this? Or how could you do... You don't know. You didn't stand in their shoes. You don't know what was happening in their life. Yeah, it's easy to judge, okay? But it's better to try to understand. And then ultimately to forgive, you know. I'm not saying that there aren't instances and cases where punishment is warranted, but as I recall the story, the way it was played out in the media with this police officer, he really loved his dog, and he was absolutely heartbroken over the situation.
It was an accident.
It wasn't like, bad dog, I'm going to leave you in the car because you've been slobbering on the window. You know, it wasn't that kind of a thing. He was genuinely torn up, and then he still had to go to jail, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a nice way to start out the week, Dwayne, right there.
Well, thanks.
Okay, want to get to the markets and talk a little bit about what we have going on here? Because we do have some very powerful market action in the S&P 500. And we had originally forecast that December 1st, plus or minus a day, would be an important turning point in many markets. The S&P had a top that we had called for on December 1st, or one day earlier than that, and they ran beyond that on Friday. But Friday, interestingly, closed back below, did exactly what they would normally do, which was what we talked about on the program on Thursday, which was that if Friday gapped higher, that the market
would then go down to test 51 and should close below 51. That's what they would do under the normal conditions. And that's exactly what did happen, because Friday did close at 43, you know, 8 points below 51, which was a good initial sign that the market was at an extreme. And yet, here we are today with the market now moving higher, having taken out Friday's high, and is testing higher prices listed in our panel, one of which is the 65-66 level here. We're testing that right now. So we're at a point where, rather than coming up with a technical term, the market is essentially blowing through a very important juncture here, because a much larger force is at work. If you were to look at gold and the euro, two other markets that had the same date, you can see that all of them have turned on their date, you know, December 1st plus or minus a day. And that was one of the backdrops of this. And that's one of the things that I like to do, is I like to see the setup in other markets, as I've talked about on a number of occasions. That's very important to me. I can hang my hat on that. In this particular case, unless today were to have a very powerful reversal at this point, which I don't think it is, but if it did, perhaps we could talk about it. But all in all, it has acted unusual and different. This is one of those cases where we had a lot of things in favor of that turn, including a number of other markets which have followed that turn, both gold and the euro, which are the two other markets we forecast those turns on, and yet the S&P has moved through. So this is one of the reasons that we use stops and make sure that we're not going to be in a position where, as an example, the date for the S&P of December 1st might end up being, this isn't a forecast, but it might end up being the midpoint for this move. It could go that much higher. So obviously it's very important to utilize stops. And for those of you who are new on this, I just want to say that the stop, utilizing a stop is not a punishment. You know, when people think of it that way, I need to, you know, inflict this punishment on myself and stop myself out. It's an edge that you have in the market, because you can exit and not have to sit through unnecessary continued losses. And so you should think of it that way, rather than thinking of it as setting yourself up for a punishment. And so let me just text that back. So anyway, we are higher, and this is very important that they've been able to do this. We're pressing higher even as we speak right now. I do want to talk a little more about the S&P in a minute, but let's switch over to, let's do the gold, because we're in a position right now, several people that we know, and I'm hoping some of your listeners are in gold based upon a couple days ago, last Thursday, we had forecast that on your program that the person could buy gold at 1744 for a advance into December 2nd, and that advance would run to 1761, and then that date would be a high for a decline of an initial 22 points and then an additional 22 points, totaling 45 points down. The market did reach the 1761 on December 2nd, which was about 16 points or so higher, $1,600 per contract higher than where we issued the buy on your program. And then the market did turn, and we're on our way down now. Now, today's low on the Globex, or I'm not sure when they made it, but 1732, under normal conditions, we would see, we've already done the one half of the move down, which occurred at somewhat higher prices here on the short side. But the continued move would normally run to test or attempt 22. So today's low has been 32 in the market so far. So gold is acting normally. And again, you can see this is a turning point that is acting just like it should. A group of markets had this, but again, the S&P is showing some somewhat different behavior. Dwayne, is there any question about the gold thing or anything that anybody's typed in on this?
Let me ask. Well, now, Patrick asks, and I'm not sure which market Patrick is referring to, David. He says, do you see the recent turning point as a possible inversion?
Well, I would like to say that I can't see it as an inversion. Because in reflected wave, we don't actually have inversions per se. And for people that are new, an inversion is where in a roadmap, which is a separate kind of forecast, the market, instead of putting in a top where we forecast a top, it actually turns out to be a pivot low in an ongoing uptrend. So it's actually a low in an uptrend, and the energy that's going to be expelled from the market is in the same direction. In other words, the market was going up. We thought it would be a top, and it normally is, but maybe 2 times out of 10, something like that, it will invert, and that will actually be a bottom in an ongoing uptrend. So Dwayne is asking me, is this an inversion? And, you know, for lack of a better term, no matter what you want to use, yes, you know, in a way, because if the market can move through that top, yes, it could very well be and should be thought of as an inversion, and therefore substantially higher prices could be coming here soon based on this behavior. Now, as it sits right now, I don't have anything set up for the inversion itself and where it would run to. So I'm going to work on that a little bit. The reason I have to work on that, and it's not so direct and easy, is because the way that they did this doesn't lend itself to an inversion unless you go all the way back to November 30th, where there was some behavior that could have been interpreted as an inversion. And so I need to work with that for a little bit. And because I had this fellow in town over the weekend, I didn't get a chance to do my normal stuff. Otherwise, I would probably have been able to say, here's the target. In case this inverted, we should be long at such and such a price for this run. There's a couple of important prices above us. This one's quite a bit higher, but 1281 is an important level on the upside that is out there. It's not an outright target because I don't have one now, but this is one of the levels that is similar to the 1262 and 1252 that we had mentioned last week, natural levels for the market to advance to. So this is one of those levels that we may end up taking a trade in a little bit on the long side if we get a further confirmation of this.
Now, Patrick,
this is an unusual position. Go ahead.
Patrick did clarify that he was asking the question in regards to the S&P, not in regards to gold.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about is the S&P.
All right.
I'm referring to the S&P. All the other markets turned, just the other ones turned exactly like they should. And again, this goes to show that anything, you know, the market, no matter what you're doing in the market, you want to go for the highest probability setup and also use risk control, risk management, to make sure that if something does go wrong, in many cases, or in some cases, you can still reverse and take advantage, and in some ways, some cases, make back your loss or more, depending on where you got short and how you traded it, et cetera. So that's the question with the S&P here, and I don't have the answer other than that I know we have a natural target at 81, but that's substantially higher than we are right now. So we'll wait and see a little bit later. And while I'm talking about the other markets, we may have a little bit more behavior here that we'll be able to do something with. So
Robert has a question. What do you use to confirm the inversion?
Well, that's a good question. It's very interesting that in probably maybe 65 or 70% of the cases, the inversion actually shows up on the chart. It's visual. You can see the inversion. And that's why I was saying a minute ago that one of those things occurred on November 30th, a thing that would indicate the potential for an inversion on this. And I would have to calculate from that. Now, I don't know if I can verbally explain it very well. It's a visual thing, but it can be seen. In some cases, it just runs right through and it just runs and goes. But in most cases, it does reverse. For the people that are new, we've been on the program for 6 years giving out over 1,000 forecasts that have been correct with regard to tops, bottoms, and subsequent price levels, etc. But the market's very big, and there's many, many forces at work in it. Our particular technique, while it may have captured a very small portion of the truth of how markets work, there's other things involved that we don't know about. And so we have to trade the part that we do understand and leverage that as best as we can. And one of the ways we leverage it, of course, is by using risk management and protecting ourselves so that we can either reverse a position, which in some cases would be what we would do, or stand aside because we can't, because we simply don't understand enough and can't see a high probability trade. The idea isn't to get your money back if you take a loss. The idea is to take the next high probability trade. If your idea is to get your money back, then that is going to rule, and guess what? You're not going to be trading sharp and crisp and clean. You're going to be pushing something that isn't necessarily a good trade setup because you want to get your money back. And that's why I suggest on this program that you stop thinking about money, stop making this a money thing, and make it a high probability investment thing. And if you'll do that, you'll get to a point where you're really thinking more in terms of finding high probability setups, and then you'll get yourself, then you'll find yourself enthusiastic about getting into those, and you'll find that your trading takes on a very different kind of tone to it, because you're not really coming to the office, or if or you trade at your home, whatever it is, you're not really looking at this with the idea to make $150 today or whatever it is. You're not thinking that way, and in the beginning, it's very tempting, and it means everything to think, well, I'm, of course, I'm here, I've got my trading set up, I've got expenses to do this, I'm trying to make some money, and of course, we're trying to make some money. But I'm talking about the way that you think about the trading and the setups for the trades. If money drives your thinking, then it doesn't work out very well. You know, like Dr. Phil has said, how does that, you know, how's that working for you? It doesn't work out well because the idea of getting something from the market isn't the best thing to be thinking about. The best thing to be thinking about is waiting for what the high probability setup is. In this particular case, we had a great, really good setup for a top here in the S&P, and in spite of the fact that multiple markets had confirmed this, multiple markets have now shown that that date was valid, the S&P has been able to move through it. That can happen. It's pretty rare, but it does happen. And the fact is that if you did take a loss, the first thing you shouldn't be thinking is, how do I get that money back? Even though that is a natural thought, the first thing you should be thinking is, where is the next high probability setup, a quality setup? It may or may not be right here and right now, and so therefore you have to put aside the need to make yourself whole because you took an X number of point loss on a particular trade, whatever it was. But that's how I roll. It's made a big difference in my trading, and when I have, you know, I work with traders that, you know, are professional traders. And what does professional really mean? It means they've been doing it for a long time. They're doing it for real income, and in many cases, it means they're doing it in large size. And I've worked, and currently do work with these guys. And one of the things that I say to them, and they pay for this, and I'm saying it to you, is that you have to learn how to think about the markets in terms of high probability setups rather than thinking about the money. You can say, oh, that's a cute little head trip that you can do. It isn't a head trip. You really have to get to there. You have to actually be that guy that's saying, all I'm interested in is a high probability setup. Everything else will take care of itself if you start with that, as far as I'm concerned. If you start with, I want to make, you know, $10,000 today, that's, you're going to be a very different kind of trader than somebody who thinks the other way. So something for you to consider. And I also like the idea, by the way, for the new people is in trading in a number of different markets. So as an example, the S&P today went through and is attempting higher prices even as we speak, but both gold and the euro are doing what they're supposed to have done. They're tradable. They're following the normal pattern. And if you're in those markets, not that you necessarily would be trading all of them, but trading in multiple markets can be very effective as a kind of internal hedge to your whole trading program. Some people trade really, really tons and tons of markets, and it gets difficult, believe me, to monitor all of them and really keep them all running. But you can do it, and it can keep you very busy if that's what you want to do. But I like the idea of trading in multiple markets. So the S&P is a very hypnotic market. It captures a lot of people's attention. And it's you could say it's a more difficult market maybe than some other markets, and so some people want to make their money in that market. I don't mind where I make the quality trades. I just want a quality setup, If I see it, I'll trade it. If it's in the euro, I'll trade it. If it's in the soybeans or the S&P. And so you pick yourself a group of markets that work for your methodology. In our particular case, we have a number of markets that we're very comfortable with. Dwayne has a set of markets as well that are very similar to the ones that we're trading, if not exactly the same. And we're all trading markets that are liquid, that, you know, have nice looking setups, whether you're long or short term. You know, these types of things occur in all these different markets.
They are exactly the same, David. The only difference would be that you do soybeans and we do the YM, but we both do the euro, we both do gold, we both do the S&P E-mini.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I don't have a group of men slaving in the Uganda desert for trying to make corn grow in sand. So that's one difference.
You really did fail geography, mm-hmm. didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I did.
It's the richest
Dwayne
soil
has a
on
bunch of
face
people.
Face
for those that are new, Dwayne has a bunch of people slaving in the Uganda desert trying to grow corn.
There's
maybe
no
you
desert
can explain
in
it, Dwayne.
Uganda. That was the funny part.
It's not a desert, and it's not Uganda.
It is Uganda and Kenya. We have people in both places. Years ago, I had a business.
Yes.
And one of the items that we sold, as David likes to say, by mail order, were beautiful little wind chimes. And this lady called, and she said, "I just got my butterfly wind chimes in the mail." And my customer service rep is on the phone with this lady. She goes, "I just got my wind chimes in the mail that I ordered, and they are very beautiful." And my customer service rep says, "Well, we're glad you like them. How can I help you?" And the customer, this is a true story. The customer said, "I'm concerned that they were made in a sweatshop." My customer service rep put the lady on hold, said, "Dwayne, this is what the lady said. I don't know what to say to her." I said, this was right off the top of my head. It was a good day. I said, "Tell her we bought him a fan." And she looked at me with big wide eyes. I said, "No, tell her that." And so she clicked back into the line, and she told the lady that, and the lady almost fell out of her chair laughing. She says, "Oh, my goodness." She goes, "Okay." And she was a happy camper, and there was no problem with the wind chime order. It was a beautiful thing.
How did we get onto that, just out of curiosity?
Because you tried to make me have slaves in the desert in Uganda.
Oh.
I don't have slaves.
Okay,
there's no desert in Uganda. So I had to bring some element of truth to this radio program, much like the National Enquirer does.
Oh, okay. So
you're
like them.
Flopping around on some kind of tangent over there, batting at that ball of yarn. Come on, Dave.
Oh, all right.
Bring it back to
earth. Trying to work with you here. I don't remember where I was, but wherever I was,
you were in
it was
the Ugandan
more important
desert.
Than that story.
Let us know how that works out for you.
Okay, that's right. That's where we were. Okay, so so we have the S&P, and we're going to come up with something for the S&P, hopefully before the day's over. For those of you that are new, our company is PageTrader.com. You can go there and take a look at what we do. We are on the radio program every day at 9:30, roughly 9:30. Pacific time, 11:30 Chicago
rough.
Time.
Very rough.
Very rough. Yeah, it's very roughly around that time.
No, we do we do strive for the bottom of the hour, guys. Sometimes we're a couple minutes early, and David's kind enough to come on early, and then there are days when we run a little bit late. But just know that every day he's coming on the radio show for how long now?
6 years.
Yeah, moving into our seventh year.
Yeah, been on this program a long time, and we try to give out, we've given out thousands of forecasts and correct market calls for where markets are going to go. We work, all of us, Dwayne and myself, work with Bert Schlichter over at Daniels Trading. You can go talk with him and get an account over there if you want to, and he'll actually trade your account with our roadmaps as an example, if that's something that you're interested in doing. And he'll explain more in detail about the roadmaps as well. Going back to gold real briefly here, so we're in February gold right now, and so for February gold, we're watching this decline off the December 2nd top that was forecast as a top. The market was closed below the 1761 upside target, which would mean that the market would now tend to go down and make an attempt at or near 1722 on this decline. And so for those of you, I don't know if anybody's short in this, our position in gold is a longer-term position, so we're not trading against that position. So if somebody did short this or has any question about that, be very happy to answer it for you. We can't give out individual investment advice, but we can give everybody the same advice and not have to worry about breaking any rules. So, but you're welcome to call in or to text in a question about a setup or have us clarify something, you know, anything like that. We're very happy to do that. Gold is a really great market for trading in. I really love the way this market moves, and it's very good at responding to the type of technical work that we do. So we'll continue on that. Now let's move over to the euro, because this is a market that also had a turning point due on December 1st, plus or minus a day. It did make a top at 135.50 and has sold off from that top. What we're looking for those of you who are new, we do have a roadmap set up for this market.
David, would you like me to put this on a daily or an hourly?
Daily is fine. You know, a daily is okay because even though the setup really is a multi-week deal, we're looking for the market to test 136.70 into the week of December 12th. And that's, we're now basically roughly within the two-week zone of that. This is 1 week early, and next week is the on-time week. So that would be the normal thing for this market to do. Now, rather than buy it right here and now, and we've suggested this last week, I think a much wiser thing to do is to wait for the market to close either above 135 on the daily or 135, you know, 25 or 22, somewhere in that range. Wait for a close above that. That diminishes the amount of profit that you're going to get out of the trade, but it also, in return for that, you are buying up front a greater certainty that the move is underway. And so you won't have to sit and wait with the market you know, going sideways here and burning up time. And you've probably noticed that when you're in the market, the time itself, even if the market's not moving against you, you know, time hurts you. It burns on you, and you have to wait for events to happen and wait for things to start firming up. It's much shorter period of time if you wait for the market to confirm one way or the other. Some people may already be in this trade. In fact, I know a few that are in the euro trade right now. But as it sits right now, I think for the listeners, I like the idea of making less money with more certainty. So we'll let the market continue to move around. There's a lot of news out about the euro as well. And most people would make an argument that the euro shouldn't be going up at all because there's a great deal of uncertainty and on and on and on. But markets have a way of doing exactly opposite in many cases of what people think they're going to do. So this may be that case here. We'll wait and see. But we do have that forecast for the 136.70 in the euro. And actually, this is a two-tiered forecast. It's a forecast for a move up into that time period of the week of December 12th, 136.70 or higher, and then a reversal and a powerful reversal, 400 pips reversal off of that top that gets put in. So we really are sort of taking advantage of this on two separate levels, the movement into the turn and the movement out of the turn, meaning into December 12th and out of December 12th. So this should be interesting. The market still is, you know, we're in an okay position here. If you want to trade it, wait for a daily close above 135 even or so, or a little bit higher. And again, you'll make somewhat less money, but you'll make it with more certainty, and the move will likely be underway, and we can go from there. Dwayne, did you have anything you wanted to add to that? Or
I just wanted to clarify for the listeners, it is an up move that you're looking for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is up. It's from, we're trading currently at 134.50, and we're looking for higher prices from here. So this is one of those things. You know, it's funny. I just want to relate the story. I was in the mall over the weekend at one point. This is the previous weekend, not this weekend. But I went to a place, and you've seen these places where you can buy oxygen, where you're sitting down and it's different sort of flavored oxygens.
The
you
oxygen
put these
bars,
little sterile, oxygen waters, and you put these little sterile clips in your nose, and you breathe in oxygen, and that's supposed to be good for you. And then they massage you. You know, they have these little vibrating massagers they put on their hands. And it's nice. It's a nice little relaxing thing. And these little businesses, surprisingly, these have done well. And so I was sitting there. I just went to it, just relaxed there, and was doing the whole thing. And I don't even know that the oxygen thing does anything for you, but it's just a pleasant experience for whatever reason. And the fellow sitting next to me was from Egypt with his wife. And lo and behold, it turns out that he is a currency trader. So he's a guy that buys and sells currencies. And he made a list of things for that he thought the euro was going to do over the next X, and he made me a little, he actually took a pen out and on his business card wrote down, he says, I know where all these markets are going to go. And, you know, anybody who says that to me, I mean, what a coincidence.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm sitting right next to a guy who's telling me where markets are going to go, and I'm really interested in that subject matter. So I didn't, he pulled his card out, and I said, really, that's interesting. So he listed a whole bunch of, you know, like the euro, the British pound, Swiss franc, and some others, where he, and clearly he knew these numbers. I mean, he knew where these markets were, and he knew, you know, his own thing of where they were going. So I lost the silly business card.
No, you kidding?
That's
me.
The story. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And it really, I know, it's terrible. I do remember him saying, however, because this was a couple weeks back, and he was saying that the euro was going to go up, and at that time, roughly, if I'm not mistaken, the euro, it might have been, I don't know. Anyway, he was looking for it to go higher, and I know it got to 142, but I think that was already it happened. I'm really not sure. So isn't that a fascinating story? I lost this. I mean, it's a meaningless story.
It's not every day that you get a hot currency tip in an oxygen bar.
No, not only the hot currency tip, but this guy was on fire. I mean, he was really sure. He knew the numbers without look. I mean, he just, euro's going to do this. He wrote it down on a card. Swiss is going to go here. And he wrote the Swiss thing down, just banging through these numbers. I do this all day, and I can't even do that. And so he was cooking. And I don't know if I washed it in my jeans. I don't know where it is. But how often does that happen? You know, I happen to be, he didn't know he was sitting next to a guy that's really into this stuff. And I really wanted to hear, and I wanted to watch what his things was. I think he might have been more of a fundamental type of guy, because he did talk a lot about the conditions on the other side of the planet. He was from Egypt, but he traveled around. But anytime somebody writes down all the things, like a series of four different forecasts for markets that, you know, we all know about, that I was really tickled by that. And I told him, I said, I have an interest in the markets as well, and I watch the markets daily. I didn't go into any other detail, but it was, I lost the silly business card. I would have loved to have
checked. Can I make a hindsight observation?
Yes.
Someone in your situation might have pulled out their new iPhone and said, Siri, could you jot this down for me? And as the man was speaking in his very distinct accent, Siri would have been taking those notes and uploading them to the cloud. You can't lose stuff in the cloud.
You can't lose stuff in the cloud. And that's brilliant. I should have, because I have that phone, and I should have done it, but I just didn't work out. So I would have, now here's the thing. Let's just say all of his calls were correct. I mean, that's the dream. You know, it's like, wow, sure, this guy really has it. That would have just tickled me, even if three out of four of them, or even if half of them were correct, I would have been really interested in that. And again, he seemed like he was news-based or kind of fundamental, because he talked a lot about world events and things like that. So a lot of times when people have something technical, they're really quick to want to tell you, oh, I have a special something that does this or does that. And he didn't talk like that. So anyway, kind of sad, I know. Just letting you know that I live the normal life like everyone else. Like, where's that business card again? You know, and the darn thing is just flat out gone. So I would have liked to have seen how those numbers, because he wrote four or five different numbers, and he put a dash, and there was a little bit of a range. He goes, it's going to go from here to here. So anyway,
but he didn't give you really any backstory on why
he... Well, he had talked a little bit about the euro. He talked a little bit about something with the governments there. This was several weeks back before some of the subsequent things had happened, but, you know, he was hot and heavy on it. Anyway, it's funny, though. You know, you never know where you're going to meet in a mall, and you're sitting down somewhere, and I'm pretty social. When I was younger, I was very shy in high school, and I grew up, and I can sit and walk into anywhere and talk to anybody. And even if my daughter, you know, if we sit in a restaurant, she almost laments the fact that at some point we're going to be talking to somebody. And I think it's written on my face. The words, please talk to me, are on my forehead. Because maybe I'm just putting out a vibe or something. I don't know. But I end up getting in conversations with people very easily, you know, no matter where I am, it seems like. You're probably the same way, Duane, a little bit.
You know, David, there are some times when I can be, I do like the shaman thing where I'm like literally invisible, okay? But what I find is, and I think this has to do with, but I have to like turn that thing on, okay? When I don't want to be bothered, I can just like be invisible. But I grew up in a small town in Georgia where I used to, you know, run around with my grandfather. And he knew everybody because he was the sheriff, and it was a very small town. And he bought all his groceries at one place. He bought all his suits at one place. He bought his gas at a certain place. And he knew these people almost intimately. He could ask them questions about their family, about their kids, and how is this going and that. And I didn't realize what a learning experience that was for me because... without even trying, when I go into places that I frequent, whether it's the bank or the Starbucks or the Fresh and Easy, this will sound really bad, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's true. People kind of light up, and I'll say, "How you doing?" And they'll go, "Wow, I'm really doing good now." And I'm like, "Why?" And they're like, I don't know. There's something about eye contact and about having meaningful conversation with people that is... and now, my grandfather, he had a fifth grade education. He was not what you would call an educated man, a scholarly man. But he had a knack and a way about him. And so I somehow got... I got part of it, I guess, genetically, but part of it from observing him. And... yeah, I guess it's true, David. Because sometimes I don't want to be bothered, so I turn on the shaman thing where I'm invisible. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yes, I go places, and it's just not something I try to do. Or, okay, I'm going to really put on a show for these people. Something engages in my brain, and I find myself talking to these people about all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to do your Christmas shaman. That's Christmas shopping. All right, we'll move on. No, that's right. I would picture you as being one of those people that talks a lot to people or whatever. But I guess I'm just verbal and enjoy it. And I do like to hear from other people. I like to hear what people are thinking and, you know, what they've got going on. And I mean, I'm genuinely interested for the most part, you know.
Well, I want to say that there is, you know, great benefit to building those types of relationships. See, it wasn't my grandfather trying to impress somebody or anything like that. He was building relationships so that when he, now this will sound bad too, needed something, mm-hmm. he knew where to go and who to talk to. Because mm-hmm. For other people, it might just be the guy at the tire store. But when my grandfather walked in, it'd be, "Mr. Reeves, how you doing? What can I do for you?" "Well, mm-hmm. I need this and blah, blah." "For you, no problem, you know?" Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to say I've got a guy for everything, but I got a lot of guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I got some
ladies. I have one guy. I just want to tell you about this. This is about my only juice in this town is there's a restaurant in, for those of you who've been to Las Vegas, in Caesar's Palace, Forum Shops, which is a very nice shopping area called Spago. And I can walk in there and... doesn't seem to matter how many people are there. He'll come right up to me, and he'll just grab me and go, "Get me a seat right away." That's juice right there for you, Duane. That's how you know you've arrived, you know, in life. You just walk into a restaurant. "Oh, no, we got a seat for you right here, Mr. Williams." "Oh, thank you very much." you turn around, there's nobody there, so it's no big deal that he found you a seat.
Well, let me ask you, when you stop, do you have places that you frequent on a regular basis? You don't drink coffee, so you don't stop off for coffee every day, but you do go to the one-hour Martinizing.
I do. I figured out what one-hour Martinizing is from your program and began utilizing it. No, I do go to a Japanese restaurant every day after work, and okay. They have sushi and some other types of food there. I really like it. It's very clean.
And do you feel like you have some sort of a relationship with the individuals who work there? I mean,
of course, yeah. Even the owner. I mean, I've been in there so many times. I'm thinking about asking him to name a roll after me. So
the David, I'm on a roll.
No, it's going to be called the Reflected Wave Roll or something like that. I don't know.
I know you're on shaky ground with the lady at the health spa. I understand that. So we won't go there.
which shaky ground on which health spa now?
The lady at the front desk that didn't want you up in there wearing blue jeans.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's the thing. Some of the listeners may have had this issue. Do you not like to just go into a gym, some of you, and, you know, you're just in your street clothes, which might just be jeans and a T-shirt, and you just want to get down to business and just get some exercise done without changing your clothes, and they let me do it there, but you're not supposed to, I guess. I don't know why, but that's the deal.
Next time that happens, man, don't get worked up. Just call me. I'll smooth it over.
Oh, I'll call you. I'll put you on the phone for them. All right, so let's move on. Let's see if there's anything else interesting. So real quick, I don't have anything immediate on the S&P for today because we are in an unusual position, and we are testing the 6566 I mentioned earlier that's in our panel. And above this level is 71 and 72. So should we have a later day breakout, this is very quiet behavior here, so we're not trading it right now. But should we have a breakout later today, that's the next target on the upside, the 71-72 level. For us right now, we're going to wait for a bit. And then probably after the show, Duane, I'm going to spend some time here and see if I can put together where we are. An inversion, somebody had asked earlier, it can often, a certain percentage of the time, you can really clearly see that it is an inversion, and you just have to buy the silly thing, because quite often inversions will run very quickly to distant targets. And so I've traded a few of the inversions and have been very, very pleased with the results because in a way it's like trading surprise. Surprise is always a great trade. If the market does something that surprises people by really running to another, and you happen to be in that direction, going correctly with surprise, it's one of the easiest trades you'll ever be in, and it really moves. It really goes places. So inversions for the roadmap are very similar to, or if exactly the same, as trading surprise. The market does something that just seems to be, wow, well, they're breaking this area, what's this? And then they close below it, and then there's this huge directional move to some distant target, which can be known in most cases with the roadmap. So, and then other cases, it's not so clear. And we may be in that position here right now. We must be, because I haven't come out with a forecast for this. So once we're off today, Duane, I'm going to take a look at this and see if I can come up with something. But I want, no matter what they do here, I think it's wise for people who, if you are short or if you are thinking about being short, I would be careful with that until there's further confirmation one way or the other. Go ahead, Duane.
I just wanted to say I noticed we have a lot of new people in the room here today. And as you hear us interacting with people who are asking questions, just in case you're not familiar with the platform that we're using, there's a little box down there that says questions. And if you have any questions about any market or about anything we've discussed, the David Williams reflected wave roll or any of that, just type it into the box. We'll be happy to answer your questions. We've been doing this back and forth thing now for years, so if you're brand new, you might feel a little out of sorts or lost, but hang with us. It all starts to make sense at some point. I just want you to know that you can type in at any time and ask a question if it's about a specific market or an indicator, price level, a forecast that David has made. Don't be shy. No one will put you on the spot. We'll just do our very best to engage you and answer your question. That's all.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't want people to be worried about asking either Dwayne or myself questions, because it's very, you know, it's very easy to think that you're going to be sucked into something where you either have to talk or interact, and you don't have to. Just if there's something that's going on that you like or want to get a clarification on, please do. I would much rather know that you clarified something and are going to trade it properly if it's a forecast, rather than, you know, get the information wrong and then be upset or something like that. And with regard to forecasts, you don't have to trade them. You can simply watch them and, you know, get familiar with them. You don't have to jump right in and trade them right away unless you have a reason to. But I do want to say also for the new people that we don't come out with forecasts unless we have something real. We're on the show every day. If we don't have something, we don't come, you know, dredge up something just to say something. The forecasts are very well thought out, and in many cases, there's quite a bit of preparation that has to go on before we'll come up and say, this is what we think is going to happen. So I'm a real fan of only giving out the real deal. And if I don't have it to give out, then I make silly jokes and talk in both my normal voice and a silly high-pitched whine to Dwayne. But if I do have it, I will give it out, and I'm very happy to help you with it to utilize it in its best use. So don't be afraid to ask questions, like he said. So there, Dwayne, I think for today, really we have the S&P in its unusual position for this particular point in time. We have the euro, which has responded to the top. We have the gold that also responded to the top and is trading lower now. For anybody who took advantage of the gold trade, they would be, under normal conditions, they would be out at this point of probably half of their position, at the very least. Half of your position would be out, and then you would hold the remainder for a test or an attempt at the 22, the 17-22 on the downside, and you can get out a little earlier than that, meaning a little higher, just to be sure if you happen to be short. Nobody's asked any questions about it, but just in case you are, because we messaged this last week, that December 2nd would mark the top from 17.61, a daily close below that, you know, indicates a reversal of, you know, down to 17.22. So that's where we think the market's going, and why do we think the market's going there is a more complicated question than the fact that that's what we think is going to happen. And if you happen to be short, you should be out of half of your position now, and we'll message this through to completion tomorrow for those of you who may be in it. Other than that, Dwayne, I think that's just about everything we have for today. Very quiet today. Market gapped up powerfully. We've been in a very narrow trading range here, and I would be careful with this until we get more confirmation about, first of all, we need a little bit more movement just to be able to trade it reasonably during the session here. So
there was a little gap on a Globex last night, and then we continued to trade higher, leading to the gap up this morning. And I just saw a headline scroll across about the IMF definitely sending some cash to Greece. Does anyone in the audience know if that is new news or is that old news? Robert would know. Robert? I'll wait and see if he gives me an answer. Richard wanted me to tell you that you're lucky, David, because when he calls dial-up prayer, even they hang up on him.
Oh, that is Henny Youngman all the way.
Do you remember dial-up prayer? I mean, they probably still have it. Maybe you don't, but down south where I grew up, there actually was a number you could call, dial-up prayer. And
there's no doubt I knew about dial-up prayer. Let me update you on something that I used to do, Dwayne. Many, many years ago, in the late 70s, in the early 70s, mm-hmm. Telephone joke lines were a big thing, where you called a telephone number and it would be a weird recording of some kind or a joke or something.
Right.
And there was a number of them, especially in California. There was a number of them all throughout California. But there was only a few of them at the time, and I was really impressed by them for one reason or another. And I started one, and it was called Tummies, T-U-M-M-I-E-S, because that's what the phone number spelled out. It was 886-6437. And that's the number the phone company gave me, and I had to figure out a word out of that, and that was it. Dwayne, we used to get 3,000 phone calls a day on this. And all it was, and if you
go to... Was it a 976 number?
No, it was a regular phone number. I built the telephone answering machine out of solid-state components. It used relays, but it actually, everything else was solid-state. And I had a counter on it, and once the thing was going, I put up signs around the valley, San Fernando Valley, dial tummies for a new telephone experience. And all it was I would go to the library and get joke books, and I would read those jokes. And it really took off. There's no money to be made. I just thought it was really interesting that people would call all the time.
So this did not generate any revenue?
This didn't create any revenue at all.
Okay.
I didn't have any idea of how to do that. But I just want to let you know that once in a while I had a monitor line where I could hear what people were saying while the thing was going on. And I would sometimes pick up the phone and talk to people. And that's how I met Chris Olson, our attorney.
I thought you went to high school with him.
He did, but I met him through Tummies. That's how I found out who he was. He was calling, and I happened to pick up the phone, and it turned it's serendipitous because we have, he's a very great friend of mine, and, best friend, and very funny guy, and I met him on that. And so if you were to go on to and dial, say, telephone joke line on Google, you'll see there's a big page that comes up that talks about a number of different ones, and way down near the bottom, it's alphabetical, I think, is Tummies. And they didn't know anything about it. I still have the original tapes, and I'm thinking about calling the guy that runs that website, because on that website you can listen to some of the, they've got them archived for all times and all places. And I was thinking I'd like to do that, and I have my tapes in the garage. And I'll send some to him and have him put it up there. So you were talking about dialer prayer. I used to run a big dialer joke thing in Northridge, California.
Well, you could have monetized that during the, what was it? Wasn't it the 976?
976 was much, much later.
Oh, was that much later?
Okay. Yeah, that was much later. And back then, we're not thinking about money. We're just thinking about...
You were just having fun, yeah.
Just having fun. Just making it happen and saying, wow, look at that, You go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and wake up in the morning and there's already 1,500 calls that happened while you were sleeping. The thing was turning on and turning off all night. So
that is funny.
I know. Isn't that funny? You said dialer prayer and it just flashed that back into my mind. So listen, let's do this. Let's let the S&P continue to confirm we're in a very strong position here with the market above 62. You can see that today, so far, all the hourly closes have been above last week's number of 62. So they're in a stronger position. They're in an unusual position because they've moved beyond the December 1st date, which did confirm other markets, showing that it is a real date, but the fact that this market's treating it differently, it's not that it's just a failure in the sense like, oh, I guess that didn't work. It actually is working, except it's treating it differently. It's sort of inverting. And so that means there may be a real opportunity on the long side here. I do need to look at it a little bit more because I was busy this weekend with this fellow from out of town. So I'm going to do that. And Duane, unless there's any other questions, I'll come back tomorrow.
Richard has a question. I'm wondering if David has Friday, December the 9th, Monday the 12th, or Tuesday the 13th as an important time period, as I have a very important time period at this cluster.
I don't know. He said, let me just take
12th and the 13th. That's a Friday next, this coming Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Okay. Give me one moment here. That's a lot of dates. And I just want to see if we have anything off of a really easy, chart. I do have, just for his information, one of the dates that he mentioned that is going to be important for me, which is out in the future, is December 14th.
Okay.
So that probably fits into his category. And it's interesting because prior to December 14th, if we happen, put it this way, there's the possibility of a breakout above 1290 prior to December 14th. So where we are price-wise, and it's forecastable, but I haven't done the work on it, but I know that I can tie that date together with his date there. December 14th for us is going to be important, and that will be, let me say it this way. If we're below 1290 into December 14th, then that date is going to be a sizable volatility cycle. there's going to be a very powerful reversal on that date. And I can do some work on it and get some more stuff to you tomorrow. But that's one of the dates that he mentioned, very close to one of the dates. So I hope that's helpful to him anyway, just at a glance.
Okay.
All right. And so is it real cold in Arizona, Dwayne?
You know, David, for Arizona, it is. In fact, last night, it was colder here than it was in New York City.
Wow.
Wasn't that cold, but I thought the disparity was noticeable. I mean, I pulled out my phone, and because we wanted to see if it was going to freeze last night so that we could cover the plants. And on my iPhone, if I scroll left, it shows me New York and a couple other places, and it was actually colder here than it was there. Now, not tonight, but tomorrow night, it's supposed to freeze here.
Okay. Yeah, you may have that.
Have you guys had any freezing temperatures?
We've gotten close. We've gotten very close out here in Las Vegas, and it's very cold today. So it was down at 39 or 38 earlier.
Do
so
you have any plants in your
good.
Backyard that you have to cover up?
You know, I haven't done that in the past, but I have had to do some on plumbing. They've had to wrap the pipes with insulation so that they don't burst. So we have a couple of those that I've had that done too. That's not an inexpensive proposition, but it does make sure that your pipes don't burst.
Right.
So that's something to consider. That's an important part of having a home. Anyway,
or you can just leave water just dribbling in the sink, and it has to get really, really, really cold for them to freeze if you've got just a little bit of water running.
Just the moving water. That's good. That's a great idea. That's a great suggestion for people who are in the cold climates, just to have a little drip by drip. It's better to waste the water than to burst a pipe. And
okay. Well,
keeping the house
we'll be
okay. Well, good.
Well,
so Dwayne,
I'll be here.
I'll be here tomorrow. We'll have a little more information, and keep an eye on the euro as well. Gold down to 22, and the euro, if we get above 35 or 35.22, we'll want to be long there, and we'll update that tomorrow. I'm getting excited about those setups there.
All right, David. Sounds good.
Okay,
Thank you so much.
Then. Thanks so much for having me on the program. Thanks All for right. the questions, you guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
Guys, that's going to be my cue to get up and get out of here as well. This is an hourly chart you're looking at. Okay, we just took out that pivot low right there. All right, let me show you this on a different time frame real quick. See what we got going on here. See, we traded to the top of this little box that I had drawn. Okay, now this could have looked like a pullback entry. But you see what happened here? Your cycle was topped out, and you were at a known resistance area. Okay? Now look what happened. So now we actually have a trade setting up. The entry at the moment will be 1263 and a quarter. Nope, now 1263 because we're moving pretty briskly. Now you're going, but wait a minute, you're still inside of that box. All right, I'm going to show you why this is different real quick. If we pull back here to 1262.75 right now, there's still plenty of travel room to the bottom, okay, to the known support level, to take a couple points out of the market. Look how it hit that level. Now look at that little wick on the bottom of that candle. Okay, let's see what happens here. This thing should go right back to the MA1. If it gets through the MA1, it should go to the BBC. If it gets to the BBC, there's an opportunity for a short trade, 2 points on the downside. Now we've got a pierce of the envelope from the bottom that Michael was talking about earlier. Okay, we got a red envelope. Pierced it from the bottom. Typically, that's going to be good for about 5 to 6 points of movement. It pierced here. So we just printed dynamic support right outside of that box. See the green dot? Those print live in real time. Notice how on the way up we printed dynamic resistance, got to the top of the box, did an about face, came back down. Now this is part of our indicator set. That dot tells us we've got support there. There's a difference between dynamic support and fixed support. Fixed support and resistance would be something like our weekly trading zones, levels that we're going to trade against for the entire week. These will print on whatever time frame chart you apply them to, and they will change as the market moves. If I scroll back a little bit, you can get a little better idea. Like support, green dots, resistance, red dots, support, green dots. Now, sometimes people say, well, gee, seems like I could just trade those. Well, you'll go through periods where it seems almost magical. But we don't trade those alone. Okay. Here's a great example. Resistance, support, resistance. Now, that's a day maker right there. Okay. But you don't always get that. So we use it as a supporting tool, a supporting indicator, if you will. Okay? Got to the bottom of the box. We also printed dynamic support. And now we got back to the MA1, the red line. Now we're headed back to the green BBC. Right now the entry would be 1262 1/4, because you can't sell 62.29. So the closest thing to that would be 62 1/4. You got dynamic support at 58.75. So is there room for this to travel 2 points to get back down to support? The answer to that is yes. Let's see what it looks like on the 2100. Okay, same thing, the entry over here. See how we had an entry here for the short, an entry here for the long, and now this would be 1262. So on the 2100 tick, the entry is 1260, now it's 6175. And on the 10K, it is 62. Okay. We didn't get the pullback, so we don't have an entry. We don't have a trade. We wait. And that's what the live trading room is all about. We teach you the indicators, how we use them. If you've not taken the free trial, I encourage you to take advantage of it. You'll spend 2 hours a day with us for a full week. No credit card required. You just go to cfrn.net/apply, and we'll send you out the link. Now, some people go, well, gee, I already missed Monday, so I better wait till next Monday. You don't have to do that. We give you 5 days. So if you start your trial tomorrow, which is on Tuesday, then it will run through next Monday. So you don't need to put it off. You can go ahead, take the trial today, cfrn.net/apply. Get yourself signed up. We'll email you the link, the password. We'll send you a page that has some additional videos that you can watch, a link where you can download the platform. Because during your free trial, you're going to have the platform just like you see in front of you. You're going to have the live data feed for all the E-minis, for the metals, for grains, for livestock, crude. If it's a futures contract, we have the data feed for it. Okay, so again, I'm going to just type it in, send it out to everybody. Okay, everybody should have got it there. And for those of you that have the other window open, I will send it out over there. Again, there's no obligation, no credit card required. You spend 5 days with us, 2 hours a day, watching us use this platform, these indicators. We trade live in real time with real money. If you go to our trading results page, which I'm going to show you that as well, go to any page on the website, and on the right-hand side, you'll see live trading room results. Okay, that's updated daily. We do a recap at the beginning of the radio broadcast, and you can scroll right down to the most recent, which should be last Friday. There's a lot of videos on the page, so it takes it a moment to load. Yep, December 2nd, we had a break-even day. And then I'll be uploading today's video tonight. So we do keep the page up to date. And this gives you an idea of where we're at after 75 trading days based on one contract. Okay. And again, you can get to this page on our website by simply going to Live Trading Room Results. That link shows up on every page on our site. Click it. If you want to go to the blog, click that. Okay. Michael X, by the way, is going to be with us later in the week. He's going to be in Vegas tomorrow. It may be Wednesday before we have a chance to get him on the show. I'm hoping we get him on tomorrow. And our plan is to have him on at least for a little bit every day that he is in Vegas. So we're really looking forward to that. Hope you'll tune in for it. If you have any questions whatsoever regarding the free trial, the platform, the indicators, you can always call our good friends Bert and Leslie at Daniels Trading. Toll free, 866-928-3310. Those phone numbers are on every web page. You can call Michael or myself. If you call that number, it's going to get picked up by voicemail, but then we're immediately alerted. So leave a message, and we'll call you right back. If you call Bert and Leslie, they actually answer the phone, usually by the third ring, from early in the morning till late in the afternoon. They work way too many hours, but they're there to serve you. Okay, I've had a number of broker relationships over the past few years, but never anything quite like what we've experienced with Daniels Trading. Bert and Leslie, they have years of experience. Bert comes and hangs out in the live trading room with us every morning. I mean, when's the last time your broker came and hung out with you and tried to help you spot some good trades? What? No, that just doesn't happen. But it does happen here. At CFRN and with Daniels Trading, you get something very unique. You also get, when you open an account, you get zero platform fees. I know, unheard of. Data fees? Oh, though those must really be expensive if they give you the platform for free. No. Daniels Trading makes an investment in your success as a trader. Now, what other brokerage firm out there is going to invest money in you? That's exactly what Daniels Trading does when you open an account. They invest in your success. They give you the platform. They give you the data fees. They have extremely competitive commissions. And you won't find better customer service anywhere bar none, because when you call, you're not going to talk to a stranger on every phone call. When you call, you're actually going to talk to Bert or Leslie. I encourage you, call, chat with them today. No obligation. 866-928-3310. That's going to wrap it up for today. Richard, S&P to put Europe's AAA countries on credit watch. Negative. Oh, okay, Richard's sharing a little news with us. The S&P, Standard & Poor's, going to put Europe's AAA countries on credit watch. So that is negative, and yep, okay, Richard, that's tying into this right here. See, this thing got away from us before it even could pull back and give us an entry. It dropped Now let's go back to that pierce. See where the envelope pierced? Michael talked about this at the beginning of the broadcast, right there. See where my cursor is? See that pierce? Okay, now we got to follow that straight up to the candle where it pierced. That would be this candle right here. See that? Let me get rid of this box now because we really don't need it. Okay. We'll go with this candle. That's where it pierced. Okay. So that price is $12.61. We're already down to $12.56 and change. Remember, we said a 5 to 6 point move. That's the when we get a pierce from the bottom. If it's a blue envelope, that means we're going up 5 to 6 points. If we get a pierce of a red envelope, then we're looking for the market to move down 5 to 6 points. Now, there may very well still be a pullback entry right here. This would be support becoming resistance. Let's go back and look at it on the 2100. Okay. The entry would be right there, which will be 12.59 and a quarter. The trade would be to sell 12.59 and a quarter. We trade those market if touched. You can trade it on a limit any way that works for you. Not suggesting you take the trade. I'm just pointing you out what one of our setups looks like. Over here, different time frame. 12.59 and a quarter. 12.59.49. You can't sell 12.59.49. You got to round it down, so it's 12.59 and a quarter. The 2100, it is 12.59 and a quarter. When those two sync up, that's pretty powerful. Let's see what we got on the 4 tick. Okay, on the 4 tick, we already triggered that thing way back here. And we never really got a pullback entry on that. Okay, now you see it just dropped down to 12.59.19. You can't sell 12.59.19, so you've got to round that down now to 12.59. On the 10,000 contract, which is a larger time frame, still 12.59 and a quarter. We like to see these line up, sync up. Makes for good trading, makes for good entries. See, this is going to come on down now to 12.59 quarter. Now, some would go, well, wait a minute, but aren't you chasing the trade? Nope. No, as long as our indicators tell us that we can look for lower prices here, we're not going to just dive in and chase it that way. We're going to stay behind it, and when it does pull back, we'll have an entry. And if it doesn't pull back, and our indicators tell us that it is no longer a high probability to sell the market here, then we'll step aside. We'll say, hey, that one got away. There was a news-driven event. The market dropped. We didn't have an entry. Not a problem. Another entry will come along, whether it's to the short side or the upside. Just have to exercise some patience. Okay. So going back to that pierce from the bottom, we've moved roughly 5 points. At this point right here, that was the 5 point move, but this may not be over. Okay. What you'll watch for is to see if you get a pullback. If you have the charts, if you have the indicators, because you're on the free trial or because you're a partner, you know where your entry is. Okay. So just watch that. I've got a run. I'll leave the hourly up. Hmm. Hey, see this area here? That's a good, that's some pretty good support across there. But what I'm really interested in is the low from Friday. A big picture trade that I really like is selling 1240 on a stop. Let it take this thing out and show me that it means it. But there's all this up here. Okay. So again, we'd love to have you take the free trial. It is free, no credit card required. Otherwise, we'll see you back here tomorrow on the radio show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.